This is Family First Record CEO, Nonchalantlize. You are now tuning in to the Cody Springer Show. Cody Springer. The Cody Springer Show. Cody, you are now. You are now tuned in to the Cody Springer Show.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Cody Springer Show, episode 102 today. I had Noble Barca on the podcast, and dude, this guy is as real can get, man. You know, we had a really good conversation today, man, and it made for a fantastic interview. And Noble, you know, he's just getting started with releasing his own music and stuff like that, and we talked about, you know, how he's a guerrilla podcaster. You know, a lot of people may not know that term or what that means exactly, but we get into all that here on this podcast. But first, before we get to the interview with Noble, I just wanted to announce that I am officially a part of Family First Records. We just closed the deal today. You know, I'm officially going to be a part of the Family First label. I'd like to thank Nonchalantlize for letting me be a part of this. You know, I definitely think that we got something special here, and, you know, I'm hoping to contribute nothing but great things to the Family First label for the months and years to come. And then also, I have a new manager. His name is Chris Zersky. He's going to be my manager from this point forward. So if you are looking to get onto my podcast, or if you are looking for ad placements on my podcast, or if there's any other business inquiries, got to hit up Chris for those. You can follow him on Instagram. It's at Chris Zersky, and you can talk to him, and we can set something up for sure. With that out of the way, let's get into my interview with Noble Barca. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got another exclusive interview for you guys today here on the Cody Springer Show. I got Noble Barca here on the show. How's it going, man?
What's good, brother? What's good, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Hope you're doing good as well.
For sure, man. For sure. Definitely. I'm probably doing more than good right now. Like, I'm feeling like really good because I'm halfway through the joint. Anybody know what that means? When you're halfway through the joint, you're feeling way more than good. So I'm real relaxed. You know what I'm saying? Ready for a great conversation. You know what I'm saying? And just really trying to give you, you know what I'm saying, what you gave me as far as the look is what I call it.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. Like, you know, going into some of my podcast interviews, I don't really know what to expect, you know? But that's the thing. Like, I've seen some of your content on YouTube, which your right. YouTube channel is Noble's Network. And, right. You know, and you just have this energy that I can kind of gravitate to in a way, you know?
Appreciate
it. And I mean, just maybe look forward to the show. And then, you know, and we've been talking in Instagram messages and stuff. And, you know, I just get good vibes from you, man.
Likewise, bro. Likewise. To be honest, I wouldn't do it if I didn't feel the same way you felt as far as, you know, feeling the good vibes and actually going to check out, you know what I'm saying, some of your content. I got the good word from Nonchalant. You know what I'm saying? He told me, like, you got to do it, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be on it tonight, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, I feel likewise about the energy, brother.
And speaking of Nonchalantlize, you guys have done a song together. It's called The Prize, I believe.
Yep. The Prize. Yep. Him featuring me. He, you know, he sent me over the verse because he all the way up in Boston. You know what I'm saying? I'm down here in Georgia. So he sent me the verse. He was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I just want you to get on it. Do your thing. Send it back. And that's going to be that. I sent it back. That was that. You know what I'm saying? And it was a perfect marriage. Like, you know what I'm saying? His voice. I told him, I said, man, you got Like, I'm a real honest guy. Like, you probably saw just my honesty, probably just in the little clips that you saw, you know what I'm saying, in my content. But me, I'm a real raw, blunted, honesty dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, brutal honest. And also, sometimes when I'm trying to give like props and trying to give appreciation, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I go hard with that shit. And people might think that, you know what I'm saying, you, how the kids say, you capping, you know what I'm saying? Or people might think you fronting or whatever. But for me, I'm like, yo, like, you got one of the best rap voices I've ever heard. I'm talking about a hip hop voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's rare, bro. I got a lot of homies, they rap, their voice is not it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, and I'm just keeping it a bean. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a special thing to have, a hip hop voice. I think people underrate that a lot. You know what I'm saying? When it comes down to music. I don't know if you know Jadakiss. I think one of the greatest reasons why Jadakiss is one of the greatest rappers, because he got like the greatest rap voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, along with the lyrics, along with his delivery, and you know what I'm saying, the flow is witty and everything, but his voice is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Lil Wayne with the voice, Snoop Dogg, Snoop D-O-double-J. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's to have a voice is something, you know what I'm saying? And I noticed that when I first listened to him. So, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, I definitely got to get on this. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully I'll do some more songs with, you know what I'm saying, the people out the family, first family. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to definitely hook up with the artists out that group for sure.
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing about, you know, Nonchalantly Zay and Mac Montana. Like, these guys work. You know, they put in that work and that dedication to their craft, man. And that's why I got mad respect for them, man, you know. And hell, they wanted me on my team, you know, because they know what kind of dedication and hard work I put into my shit. So, you know, I think it's a good fit. You know, we got three guys, and then whoever else might come into the picture later on, right. You got to bring that hard work and dedication. So,
facts. That seemed like that's the family's motto right there.
Yes, definitely. So, let's talk about your own podcast. I mean, you call yourself a gorilla podcaster. What does, for anyone who may not know that term, what does that mean?
Well, first of all, before I answer the question, I want to say you have done your homework. That's number one. Okay. And you have paid attention to detail. And that's something I respect. Okay. Just to notice, because I just put that up there. I just started doing that in the last 3 months because I was watching this film. I'm a movie head. I'm a movie buff, right? I was watching this film and they said it was a gorilla film. So I'm thinking gorilla, like the animal. I didn't think like gorilla, like in a G-U. E-I-R-A-L-L-A, right? I'm not thinking that type of wording, but I go look up the movie in terms of guerrilla filmmaking. The definition of that is pretty much just like something being raw and not authorized. So it's like if you put out the greatest movie with like all the greatest actors in Hollywood didn't sanction it. And the government was like, this shit can't come out. Like this is way past NC-17 TVMA, like this is some shit. This shit can't come out. You know what I'm saying? You put it out anyway, and that will be a gorilla film or something, you know what I'm saying, towards that level of not authorized, really raw documentary filmmaking in sort. So I just pretty much just took it like, you know, if you listen to my podcast, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a wild guy. but I'm not wild in terms of like just outlandish. Like I'll just speak the facts. A lot of people will be speaking feelings, and for me sometimes the truth hurts, and my delivery can be tough. I'm from Jersey, I'm from Atlantic City, like you know what I'm saying, like, but you know my background is a little different than most people, so maybe my delivery is just a little bit more harsh. But to be honest, you know what I'm saying, to be quite honest with you, gorilla podcasting is definitely what I do, because anything I do is going to be, you know what I'm saying, not authorized, is going to get banned. Like, I can't tell you how many times I try to pull up a mini clip on Instagram or put up a mini clip on TikTok and just get banned. I'm pretty sure you go through that too. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it just happens with the type of content that I deliver. I'm on here smoking. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We just talked about that, you know what I'm saying, before we got on to the live. So I'm on here smoking. You know what I'm saying? I'm cursing. You know what I'm saying? I got a horrible mouth. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like, I don't try to pigeonhole myself in any sort of fashion. Same thing I do with my art with the hip hop, with music, and just with any type of art that I'm making, because I'm not just a hip hop, I'm an artist, but you know, I try to put in that same creative aspect into the podcast. And so Gorilla Film Podcast, and to answer the question, is some raw, unauthorized content.
And that's another thing too. Like with your podcast, you talk about a bit of everything. Now with me, I talk a lot about everything too, but I stay away from religion, politics. Now, I don't know how deep you get into politics or religion on your podcast. I mean, because you said it before. You know, you've had trouble getting many clips up because, you know, there was some sensitive shit, you know, in it. So, I mean,
for sure.
So, like, I mean, obviously, you're not afraid to touch on anything.
Nothing.
So, I mean, why do you think?
I mean, really.
So, why do you think sometimes
go ahead.
Well, why do you think sometimes that happens? You know, why do you get stuff taken down, or is it just stuff that's too sensitive for social media or whatnot?
Well, so I don't know. Like, to be honest, see, I knew this was going to happen, though. I'm not trying to act like I'm surprised or I'm mad, or I kind of actually like it in a sense. You know what I'm saying? I kind of take pride in it. Like, but I have nothing to show for. But it's like I'm taking pride in something that has nothing to show for it. And it's just, you know, it's coming, like I have a little bit to show. You know, I got a couple of views and stuff. But, you know, for the most part, it's really me believing in me at this point. You know what I'm saying? To do that with a type of content like that, that's the definition of a guerrilla filmmaker. Like, that's what he would think. So before I even start the podcast, I'm just a one-man show, right? Like, sometimes I do a couple of call-ins, have people, you know, get on speaker, or I go live with them or something like that. But for the most part, I'm a one-man band. You know what I'm saying? Just me in front of the camera, got a backdrop, you know what I'm saying? Some vinyls in front of the little brick wall, you know what I'm saying? Smoking a joint, doing my thing. So when I first started, I was going to have like a cameraman, and I knew this guy that was going to do it, but he told me, he was like, he was much older than me too. Like, I'm 24, he's about 36. And he told me, he was like, you know, I got all the equipment, I got all the lights, you know what I'm saying? I can make it look really good. He was showing me a couple of his work that he did before. And he just was like, here's the thing though. He was like, this is not going to work. I said, what do you mean? He was like, it's not going to work, man. I said, why won't work? He said, your content is going to get flagged every single time. He said, you won't be able to get yours on YouTube unless you put an 18 or over, which I have to do. You know what I'm saying? All my YouTube videos has to be 18 or over automatically. On Instagram, I'm not going to be able to get any ads. Like, I can't do an ad on Instagram at all. Even if the ad is clean, no curse words. I think they already saw all the ads that I try to do. You know what I'm saying? And just like, we're just going to ban this nigga. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I saw it coming. And he warned me. He warned me. He's like, you don't have to go in there and smoke. I mean, you can still be high and smoke before. I said, nigga, I smoke when I'm having conversation. That's what I do. I smoke when I'm not. I smoke 24/7. I'm biased, but I do, especially in conversation. There's a joint in my hand. I'm blowing smoke. It's just, you know, that's the type of atmosphere that I like around. You know what I'm saying? So why wouldn't I put that on camera? You know what I'm saying? When I can see, you know what I'm saying, 85 South Show, they be smoking on a shit. But of course, you know, they got money, DC Young Fly, you know what I'm saying, Carlos Miller, Chico Bean, they got, you know what I'm saying, they much bigger, so, you know, they can probably get away with it, but, you know what I'm saying, they in Georgia, they smoking weed on their podcast, shout out to them, you know what I'm saying, why can't I do it, you know what I'm saying, like, that's how I be thinking about it, like, I can't, you know what I'm saying, like, I don't understand certain shit, you know what I'm saying, and I'll be rocking with it, but it's just like, I knew this was going to happen, so I'm not going to act like me getting banned from something or something like that, I'm surprised or I'm taken back from it any way, sort of fashion. I actually have grown to really, you know what I'm saying, take pride in it. You know what I'm saying? Take pride in it, man.
And that's the thing. You got to be yourself. You know, that's why I tell people all the time, like, oh, man, like, what's your best advice for me? You know, because, you know, I had a conversation with Nonchalantly Zay's brother. He's planning on starting a podcast here soon, and he wanted my advice because, you know, I've been doing this quite a long time. I said, man, right. You know, the best advice I can give you is just to be yourself, be you, you know, and yeah, man, because people will gravitate to those who are themselves, you know,
facts.
You know, because a lot of people try to be something that they're not, and that's the thing, man, like, you gotta have your own style, man, And those who are fans will remain fans because you're being yourself, you know? I mean, that's the thing. I like, you know, what you're doing, you know? And your dude, who the cameraman and whatnot, I mean, yeah, I mean, I kind of see where he's coming from there, but at the same time, it's just like, dude, you know, there's a vision here, you know?
Right. He did that. See, how you get it in 30 seconds and he ain't get it in a matter of hours? I mean, I don't understand. Like, it's the vision. It's the vision. That was the perfect word.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, when I talk to somebody, like an artist or a content creator such as yourself, you know, I try to see their vision and what they're going for. And then, you know, and then I see it and I get it. Like, okay, you know, this is what they do. This is what they believe in. You know, I respect it.
But but you're not giving yourself enough credit, because it takes somebody to actually, to be honest, it takes somebody to address that. Right. Actually let that person know. And then before that, it takes you to actually realize that that's what's taking place. Like, you're actually seeing somebody on the grind. You know what I'm saying? You're actually, you can notice, you know what I'm saying, a hustler's mentality, or somebody who's actually working for something that has a true passion for something. You know what I'm saying? Like, not a lot of people can just, you know, they got the blinders on, man. They got the blinders on, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? You definitely, you're not one of them type of people. So yeah, I definitely respect that 1,000%, 1,000.
And that's another thing too, man. Like, I'm very open-minded, you know? I tend to take suggestions from everybody in the room and not just listen to my own. And if I feel like someone has a better idea than I do, then I'm like, okay, we're going to run with his idea. He's got the best idea, you know? Yeah, I'm very collaborative, and that's just how I've always been. So what are...
You're my type of guy, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. That's all I was going to say. You're just my type of guy. I fuck with niggas that like you. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, bro.
So what are some stuff that has been, like, taken down from, like, Instagram that you've put up?
I'll give you a perfect example. Perfect example. Remember that shit what happened with Meghan Markle and the Queen of England?
Yes,
All right. That was a big story, right?
Right.
And you know me. You know, I'm a history buff, so I you know, I know a lot about the Queen of England. Not her specifically, but, you know, the kingdom and the queendom. I guess you could put it in that sense. But, you know, it's just like, okay. You know, apparently they didn't want to take in her baby. You know, apparently it was a rumor that Queen Elizabeth said, I don't want that baby in my house because the baby is black, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Meghan Markle is half black. So you was willing to allow Meghan Markle to be with your son. I mean, not so much, because they did get, like, kicked out of the whole shit and he left. So I guess you didn't really allow it. You know what I'm saying? So then from her position, all right? Just try to remove your morality out of this and your sensitivity out of this. From her perspective, Queen Elizabeth's perspective, she's probably always been racist. Okay, like, this is not out of the imagination, you know what I'm saying, of thought. Like, this woman is 90-something years old. She is from England. She is the queen. I believe that most kings and queens are racist. I don't care what their race is. Like, that's, kings and queens have always been racist. This is kings. This is some lordship. This is not, like, the greatest human being you'll find usually, right? So Queen Elizabeth is not really approving of the Meghan Markle shit where her son, the baby, comes along. What you think is going to happen? She's going to accept the baby too? Okay. And everybody expected Queen Elizabeth to all of a sudden be accepting black people into the queen, into the kingdom hall, like, into England. Like, that's just what they've been doing all this type of time. You know what I'm saying? Obama didn't even get that treatment. She didn't treat Michelle like that. I listen, man, my thing is, I don't care if people are racist, to be quite honest. I don't. That's not really my concern in life. I would rather know that you're actually an overt racist than a covert racist, as a matter of fact, because now you let me know your position. Like I said, you can be consistently evil as long as I know. But I mean, I would rather you not be racist, though. I will say, it is stupid to be racist. It's horrible, but I'm not gonna lie. Like, it doesn't really affect me that much. You know what I'm saying? Until it does, in a sense. But you know, I look at it like people are gonna be them. Why are we expecting this queen of England? Okay, maybe the most powerful woman on earth right now. Like, literally, like, I don't give a fuck who's the richest woman. Fuck Oprah. I don't give a fuck who you want to name as far as the money. This is the queen of England. Nigga, this is some shit. You know how much territory England has? Like, this is serious, right? So, I made this little video of a highlight video, right? Put a little Instagram highlight video, put it on TikTok. And I think it actually got on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken, but they banned the promo, but they let me do the highlight reel. TikTok didn't let me put it up at all. Facebook let me put it up. Facebook always lets me put it up. Facebook, they fucking with me. Mark Zuckerberg, salute to him. But Instagram, they didn't let me promote that particular video. They just let me do the highlight reel for it. TikTok didn't let me put it up at all. You know what I'm saying? Just totally said, your video is sensitive content. Banned. And I was talking to my homie. One day I'm just post a picture of all the bans that I get. Because I got them right there. I can just screenshot it right there in the motherfucking messages on the apps. And they'll show you just banned. Violation. Literally, what is that? Right. So I try to put up this video saying what I just told you. Like, I pretty much make it like a 30-second video or clip it down to 30 seconds because it's pretty much a whole 2 hours. But I clipped it down to a whole 30 seconds where I'm talking about that situation. And, you know, I was pretty much saying, you know, I did take it to another step. Okay. If you know the movie, if you get the reference, it would have made sense. But what I said was, do y'all expect the queen to let that nigga girl in the White House? They not going to let the niggas in the big house. That's what I said, right? So, mind you, that could rub a few people the wrong way. I'm not going to lie. It definitely could. But if you've seen the movie, which probably rubbed the people the wrong way too, Django, right? Samuel Jackson is talking to Leonardo DiCaprio, Mr. Mansoor Candy, in the movie. And he's talking to him saying, when Django arrives with the Dutchman, the doctor, whatever he was, the German, he was German. When Django arrives with the German doctor, he says, "You gonna let the nigga in a big house? Your daddy be rolling over his grave right now. You can't let the nigga in the white, in the big house. The niggas go out there." This is, and Samuel Jackson character was black. This is, he was the worst Uncle Tom nigga that there is to be. But he had a point. He did have a point. Okay. And the father probably was rolling in his grave. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I don't give a fuck if he's coming to buy him a couple of niggas from you. Cause if you watch the movie, he was trying to buy him some niggas from the plantation. That was the trip that they were setting up to get the girl back. You know what I'm saying? They was putting a 1-2 on him. But, you know what I'm saying? Mansoor Candy, Leonardo DiCaprio character, he got a little, you know, easy for the money. And allowed the nigga into the big house. And end up dying in the movie too, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and put that out there. Should never let the nigga in the big house. So I'm not going to say that it's right or wrong for them to let Meghan Markle and her baby in their shit if we know that that's probably the unwritten rule in the Queenham Hall or whatever that shit is called, the castle in England. That's probably written in. No niggas in here. No anybody but white face. Because I don't see anybody a part of their shit other than, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like where it's America, you got congressmen that's different colors. I mean, it's not the most diverse situation. But, you know, even Mexico got a couple of, you know what I'm saying? Even, you know, China got a couple of sprinkled diversities in there. England, they don't play that shit. This is old, white face, blonde hair, blue eye. And this is what it is, bro. I'm not going to expect anything different from them. So I guess people didn't feel that way. TikTok certainly didn't, and banned my shit. That was just one video.
All right. So you said that Facebook let you put it up, the entire thing. TikTok, mm-hmm. No, it was a no-go. Instagram, You know, like, no, well, do you think that you're targeted, or do you think that you're just in compliance with their algorithm or whatever?
That's all it is. There's no way I'm targeted because I didn't get to that level of viewership. What you mean? Like, targeted? Like, like, you know what I'm saying? They not stopping nothing. It's not too much of a roller coaster. Like, it's not too crazy over here. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, I guess Facebook is just like, we're allowing it. You know what I'm saying? And all of them, all apps are not allowing any promo though. Like, you know how you can do a promo for your, or boost your post on Facebook, or do like a IGTV promotion, or do a TikTok promotion. They're not allowing it at all. On all platforms.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So any promo. And I used to be able to do it at first when I first started off, like back in last June, because that's when I first started putting out content. And you know, the content has always been the same. And I used to be able to get like one to two promos off, and then I just started noticing after like 6 weeks, maybe it was just like banned. Violation, in code violation, guideline violation. You have to remove the profanity. I removed the profanity. Nope, still not working. I'm like, oh my God. So I guess they realized that I'm leading them to the content, which is Noble's Network's channel, which has all of the shit that they don't want you to see, I guess. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't think they targeted me. I just think that I'm not cohering. With the motherfucking rules and regulations, like I never have.
And that's another thing too. Like, I kind of feel like nowadays everything's so, and maybe this isn't, you know, respectfully putting it, but pussyfied. You know, like,
say it one more time.
Yeah, like I mean, come the fuck on, man. Like, you know, that they will promote all kinds of bad shit, but if somebody like is, you know, saying a certain thing that they don't like, then banned, restricted, you right. know, like come on, man, you know, I mean, you'll promote a movie with a shitload of violence in it, drug use, you know, fucking a lot of death, foul language, but if a podcaster or YouTuber says some shit that you don't like, Then that video gets taken down. Oh, it violates our guidelines. You know, like, come on, man. It's ridiculous.
I don't know, man. Why you think it's why you think they pick and choose like that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you go on Instagram, it's ass and titties all over the place. You go on TikTok, ass and titties all over the place. You know what I mean, like, literally ass and titties all over, pussy on fucking. You know what I mean? Then forget about that. Every time there's a cop shooting, right? Every time it's police brutality, where the video go first? So how they allowing that? So exactly. It's like, how y'all pick and choosing? Like, y'all really pick and choosing. It'd be like suicides on social media and shit. Niggas killing themselves on Facebook Live. I mean, y'all just allowing like all this shit, and it's just like somebody to say something that I guess is not, you know what I'm saying? It's just not, it's lewd. It is lewd. I'm not going to say it isn't. You know what I'm saying? My grandpa always told me that when I was young. Well, you got a lewd mouth just like I did. You know what I'm saying? That's where I got it from, that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker crazy. Too much. You know what I'm saying? But, it's, you know, I'm lewd. I'm not going to say that I'm not, but it is still honesty. It's truth in it. It's still content. I'm not trying to harm anybody. I'm not saying any harmful things. I'm not, you know, trying to actually hurt anybody. It's just content, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I just don't like the, I don't like the contradiction, and I feel as though fuck what somebody say, it's about what people do. If you allowing the Capitol Hill to be all a part of social media's fun day and you banning content makers, that's just ridiculous. Like you gotta really, like, where does your morals lie? You know what I'm saying? And to be honest, you would think the government wouldn't want their government shit to be revealed, right? If you was a police department that was killing niggas every day, you'd be like, no videos on social media. I don't give a fuck who took care of the video. That's on their phone only. And every time you try to upload that shit, it just gets banned. I mean, that would work out for them. But you know, they not that smart, obviously. Obviously, I'd be thinking the whole type of way if that was that bad.
Right. I mean, it's a big ass contradiction, you know, like, I'll give an example. A couple weeks ago, in a town, there's a town about 30 minutes away from me, called Lima, Ohio. And there was this group of kids. I don't know if they were like, I think they were all like 18, 19, 20 years old, just taking a guess. And they arrested all the black kids. Didn't even read them their rights, just start cuffing them and shit, Didn't touch the white kids at all, And this was like police body cam footage too, And that shit pissed me off. I'm like, really? You guys didn't even read them their fucking rights when you cuffed them, You just started stuffing them in your cars and shit, hauling them off to jail over some dumb shit. Just because they were playing loud music in a Taco Bell parking lot. Like, seriously, man. But
And
yeah,
that's
man.
just every day. And that's just every day. And that's really, to be honest, you know what I'm saying? They lucky to come away with their life at that moment. You know what I'm saying? And that sounds kind of crazy, but for as amount of for the amount of police encounters that I have had, you know what I'm saying? And I done had close calls, but I'm not gonna lie. 90% of the time that I had a police encounter, I had good police. I had good cops. You know what I'm saying? And I'm in Georgia. Now, you know what I'm saying? I'm brown skin. Come on. You know what I'm saying? With the weed on me. You know what I mean? With the blade on me, with the contraband everywhere, with the knife there, with the, you know what I mean? So it's like it's also how you respond. I'm not gonna lie. Not to say that things happen, you know what I'm saying, that it shouldn't happen, of course. There should be no brutalization in any way, for any way, form or fashion. It shouldn't be no, abuse of power. You know what I'm saying? These people have all the power to use. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to actually feel as though that somebody is, if you're scared and, you know what I'm saying, you can always tase them. You know what I'm saying? How many times you see niggas get tased? They freeze up. There's nothing you can do. Tase them. Why are you shooting everybody? Like, what happened to the baton? They used to be killing us with the baton. That shit went away. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna say that that's better, but I'm just saying, like, what the fuck? Like, y'all just advanced to just like shoot first? Like, y'all Call of Duty? Like, this shit is insane. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, if that's gonna be the case, okay. You know what I'm saying? You gotta respond in kind. You know what I'm saying? I always say the best way to get away from a police encounter, whether you're doing something right, wrong, or indifferent. Because that's the way their mind is. So you got to think the same way. Whether you are doing something right, wrong, or indifferent, you got to respond in kind. Pretty much metaphorically, suck his dick, suck her vagina. That's what you have to do. Okay, pretty much. It's a big dick contest. Hello, Mr. Officer. How can I help you? Hands on the wheel. No, have a whole transaction like you would at work if you was working customer service like I do. You know what I mean? Like treat it, you gotta treat it like that. If you don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what could happen. Not to say that even if you do, as we saw with a lot of videos, I just saw one with a military dude not too long ago. And then for the most part, I try to stay away from these videos too. But sometimes, my homies just be showing me on shit. I never watch videos and shit, but it's just like, the dude's fully compliant. He's a military officer, former veteran, and the cops doing him dirty. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, dude, I'm in military uniform. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes you can do everything right and still get shot, but it does help your chances. I'm not gonna lie.
Right. I mean, I'll tell a little story here. Like last summer, I picked up my friend Marcel, who is black, and we were just driving around and shit, and we stopped at a park and whatnot. We were talking and shit, eating food and whatnot. And then a fucking sheriff pulls up alongside us. And he's like, "Oh, you guys can't, really be in this park right now at this time of night due to COVID restrictions and stuff." And I was like, "Oh, okay, I didn't know. Sorry." And then but instead of letting us go, he wanted IDs and shit, start wanting to pull identification and shit, both of our IDs. And I'm like, and I thought to myself, like, why do you need to see his ID? Like, he's a passenger. And he's like, we just updated our database, and so we're just trying to collect everybody's information. And I'm like, man, are you fucking serious?
Absolutely.
But like you said, I mean, it's better to cooperate, give them what they want, so you can go. You know,
that's right.
So that's what we had to do. You know, it was bullshit, and I thought it was unnecessary, but you know, it was that moment. You know,
I agree with you 1,000%, bro. You know what I'm saying? And it, like, especially, you know what I'm saying? I've been in that position that you was in. You know what I'm saying? One of the homies, one of my white boys, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? With my homies, and he riding, I'm in the passenger side. Same situation. Let me see that. Let me see that, sir. You know what I'm saying? Now, like I said, whether you right, wrong, and indifferent, you got to respond in kind, like you just said, you know what I'm saying? Making sure that you comply. You know what I'm saying? Stories like that, you know what I'm saying? We really lucky to come away with our lives, to be honest.
Yes, exactly. Because, oh, I mean, that situation could have ended up a lot worse, you know. Could have pulled us both out of the car and then shot him and, you know, try to plant something on me, put me in jail, you know. But, you know, like, but yeah, I guess, you know, like you said, it's better to comply than, you know, than not, so.
Facts.
But I want to ask you, like, what are some of your future plans for your podcast? Are you looking to get some guest appearances on your show, or are you going to switch it up with some kind of new content?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think I might still a page from your book with this Zoom. And instead of doing, because I'm so old school, man, like, really, I'm 24, right, but I'm 42, I swear to God, like, you know what I'm saying, I know nothing about any technology. I'm still, when I do a call-in on my podcast, I've done about, like, six of them, when I do a call-in, I put people on a speakerphone, bro, you know what I mean, and just, like, have them on a recorded show, but really, I could be doing Zoom this entire time, and that could be a much better experience for both people, so, you know what I'm saying? And it seems just a little bit more professional too when somebody actually be a part of something. You're like, yeah, you want to join me on this Zoom call versus, you know what I'm saying, be on speaker. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm going to take a look. I'm still a page from your book on that, as far as, you know, my future look. You know, but also, you know, just continue on with the call-ins that I call them call-ins, just the call-ins that I have. I actually got one coming up with a group. I think they call it like DBCOA, if I'm not mistaken. It's DBCOA. They out of New York. Young brother spitting hard, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're going to be a part of my podcast. They want to, you know, actually come down to Georgia this weekend. Hopefully we can go ahead and shoot something for episodes. So, you know, I'm going to definitely still continue on with the guests, you know, appearances. You know, I'm do it every now and then. As far as the content switching, I guess, you know, once I'm able to, you know, actually get to that point, get to that level of ducats, I call them ducats. You know what I'm saying? You need that bread. You need that bread to invest into yourself, right? So I really just got to invest into myself and get an actual camera, get a setup, get the lights, you know what I'm saying? And actually, you know, get off the Moto G Plus, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I got a great camera setup. I'm not going to lie. It's a good backdrop, a very clear picture, good sound, but, you know, it definitely can be better. And in the future, I'll definitely, you know, looking to upgrade on that for sure. So that's my future plans. For the pot.
Yeah, like, in my opinion, I think Zoom is a good, you know, platform to, like, get people on and to do a podcast with for interviews. But also, you know, I also will I have a Skype subscription too, and I can call people's numbers and then record the podcast that way. I've had a few people prefer to do that over Zoom, which is fine, you know. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all in everyone's preference, really, what they want to do.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to take a couple pages out your book, my brother.
Feel free, you know. Feel free. If it's going to help you out, go for it, man.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that.
So, you know, let's go back on the music. Like we said, you and Nonchalantly Zay, you guys got a song out together called The Prize. Have you recently just started getting into music? Because I've noticed you only have two songs out on SoundCloud. So is the music like a new thing for you?
It's a new thing as far as me actually releasing music. But to be honest, you know what I'm saying? Ever since I was about 17, been seriously, like, taking music seriously. You know what I mean? But it's just like I've never got to the point of being in the studio consistently. I was in the studio at one point when I was like 19. 20, But then I had a fallout with the producer, a famous stand-up comedian that maybe I'll reveal in the future. I never say his name. You know, I don't give up names. I'm not a name guy. But it was a situation that happened. And, you know what I'm saying? I stopped dealing with the dude. But I had a whole mixtape record, like 15, 20 songs. You know what I'm saying? Maybe even more than that. But, you know what I'm saying? It's not that I was adverse to being in a studio or nothing like that. It's just, you know what I'm saying? I just really didn't find the right person to be in there with. Didn't have necessarily money to be up in there to keep it all the way jig. And also, I didn't feel as though that it was no need to rush it. You know what I'm saying? I was going to get to that point once I get to that point. Right now, I'm at a studio called Prescott Studios. It's out there in Alpharetta, Georgia. So I always give them a big shout outs because, you know what I'm saying, that's the state of the art type shit. Like, and that's me not even bullshitting. Like, you can go on the website and just see the different rooms that they got. These niggas got guitars, pianos, and fucking, like, you know what I'm saying? Famous R&B stars come and perform at his house, and because it's like a home studio, but it's not a home studio. Like, his basement is like the size of like two apartments put together. It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's just like, his basement might be the size of an entire house. And that's no bullshit. That is no bullshit, literally. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? The man got money. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Uncle Dave, my nigga, Uncle Dave. You know what I'm saying? He be coming through Prescott Studios. So, you know, I've been in there. And that's the last two songs that I got released. I had a couple of more joints, but the producers that I got it from, you know what I'm saying, the leasing didn't work or the situation, whatever. But, you know, these last two I definitely put out, and I got some more coming out for sure in the future. So it's probably like a total, it's going to be a total of four because me and Nonchalant got another one coming out too. You know what I'm saying? I'm singing on one of his joints and he's going to rap to it and do his thing. So there's going to be a total of four at that point. And then I'm going to definitely come out with a couple of more myself. So, yeah, for sure.
So you said you had a fallout with that producer. You know, you said you guys recorded all these songs and then there was a fallout. Well, what exactly happened?
All right. Here's the breakdown. I gave this breakdown on my podcast too. And it's literally one of the funniest stories ever, being that it took place with a stand-up comedian. Now, I'm not going to say the stand-up comedian's name. I just can't do that. Like, because I just feel as though that, you know what I'm saying? That's just not me. You know what I'm saying? Like, hopefully one point I get to a point where I'm able to talk to this guy and then I'll be able to say his name out in the public. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather have the conversation with him first. But it is a famous stand-up comedian. You do know him for sure. Okay, I can promise you that because my man's, who was the producer, he was in the industry for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was both working at Home Depot. He was the supervisor. I was the supervisor over here. So, you know what I'm saying? Me and his schedule worked good. And I would get up in the studio, go to his house, record, and just bang out records. You know what I'm saying? Just bang them out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, anything that I'm saying about this story has nothing to do with his producing ability. Nothing. You know what I'm saying? The man was great. You know what I'm saying? Had a great home studio set up. We were sampling records off the vinyl. You know what I'm saying? So I'm an old fashioned dude. You know what I'm saying? So we sampling records off the vinyl. And you know what I'm saying? We cutting up records. So it gets to a point where he's like, yeah, I want to introduce you to somebody that I know. I was like, all right, bet. He was like, you know what I'm saying? I know a couple people in the industry. You know what I'm saying? I was up there in New York doing my thing. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and give you a quick tidbit real quick. You know FX, right? Like the FX channel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. FX. You know how it used to come on, like FX has the movies. FX has the movies. Do you remember that intro?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
He created that intro.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Okay. So he wasn't only in the music side either, but he produced for Buckshot. That was a rapper. I don't know if you know who that is, but Buckshot back in the day, produced for Buckshot and a couple other dudes too. But yeah, he created that. I was amazed when he told me that. He still get the royalty check from that till this day. I'll say, so I'm not taking anything away from him. It's really no beef at all. You know what I'm saying? We had a creative difference. You know what I'm saying? That was the falling out, a creative difference. You know what I mean? But, and also I would say an integrity point too, but we can get to that. But situation happened. They had called me one morning. Told me to come over to the studio. It's like the homies at the crib. It's like everybody that used to be there. So it's like a total of five of us, including the stand-up comedians, like younger mans. You know what I'm saying? Because stand-up comedians, like probably 40 plus. These younger mans had to be my age at the point, at that time, which was 19. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? He's in there with them. And I walk in And you know me, I'm you know, I don't give a fuck. That's my whole thing. That's my mentality. Not in a bad sense, but I'm wearing a North Face jacket, pajamas. You know what I'm saying? Vans on, and I got the weed with me like I always do. So I walk in, you know, smelling like a pound. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. And they was like, yo, we was waiting on you to get here because we wanted you to be here when we showing him your shit. So as soon as I got there, you know what I'm saying? They start like we start talking for a minute. He was telling me about how like he's from New York. The stand-up comedian, he's from New York. I'll give a couple of hints. He's from New York. His father was in the army. And you know what I'm saying? Like he had asked me about my pops. You know, my pops is in prison and shit. So he listened to what I'm saying. Like as a young boy, right? Talk to him. And then they start playing my records. He's like, yo, I like his shit, right? So I'm just like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, this might go well, right? Everything is smooth. We vibing. Everything is good, right? We go downstairs. He's like, yo, he had a show to do. He was coming out to Atlanta to do a show. I think at the, at something theater, at maybe the Fox Theater or something like that. He had a show to do. And, he had invited us to the show after the fact too. we'll get to that too. But, he had a show to do. He was like, he just wanted to smoke a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He just wanted to drink. I was like, yeah, I got the weed. I'm like, yeah. Let's go, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in, by the way, like the stand-up comedian, I fucked with the stand-up comedian. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a funny dude. I literally just got finished watching his stand-up literally around that time, like a month before this shit even happened. Didn't even know it was going to be him. You know what I'm saying? So he's funny. Like, you know what I'm saying? I fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? As a comedian. So it's like, we go downstairs. I roll up the lala, you know what I'm saying? Give the blessing. You know what I'm saying? Passing around the drink. It's actually raining, so the drink getting wet. I remember it like yesterday, right? So everybody's smoking, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? This nigga like high as fuck too. Like he only took like three to four puffs, by the way. He's definitely not a weed smoker. But maybe I just had some chronic that day. That could be it too. But he took about 3 to 4 puffs. He was good. Said he don't want to forget his shit about the show. But and while we was out there talking, he kept on trying to tell us stories, okay, about like him on yachts with P. Diddy and stories about he's always with these certain celebrities, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, living this high life. It's just like, it just came out of nowhere, kind of. It was kind of like he was expecting us to ask, but we didn't ask, and then he just started talking about it, right? So I'm not saying anything. I mean, I'm just smoking. You know what I'm saying? Just listening to what he's saying. Okay. I can tell my man's, not the producer, but my other man's over there, he kind of looking like, what the fuck is this nigga talking about? Like, we don't give a fuck about you and P. Diddy on a yacht and spilling champagne on bitches. And you know what I'm saying? We don't give a fuck about that shit. But okay. So we go upstairs. And he was like, yo, before I go, I want to play y'all a parody record that I had. Okay, this is how you know the story is no bullshit. If the stand-up comedian is listening right now, he cannot lie. You know he can't lie. He said, I want to play y'all a parody record that I made of a Cardi B song. This is when Cardi B had first came out. You know what I'm saying? I was 19, so this is like 5 years ago. He played a parody record of Bodak Yellow, okay? And it was trash, okay? But I didn't say that at first. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say that. I didn't say that first. Here's the thing. He played the parody record. He was laughing. Nobody was saying anything while the record is playing. It's a total room of five of us, including his little mans, which is 19, same age I was. Okay, nobody's laughing. We're just listening at this point because it's kind of getting awkward. Like, you know how somebody trying to play you something and they're not stopping it? So you kind of listen to the entire thing. And it's just like, it's awkward for the room. So it gets to that point. To the point where he asks us around. Like he asks the producer, the homie, so how you feel about it? My producer homie act like he on a computer doing something. Now he didn't even respond to him, bro. He didn't respond to him, right? The other homie asked him, the one that was looking crazy at him when he was telling the Diddy story. He asked him, he was like, he didn't really give him an answer, just kind of like shrugged his shoulders a little bit. He asked me, I start laughing, but I said this literally, I said just like this. Yo, I thought that shit was trash, my nigga. That's what I said, right? Literally exactly like that, okay? When I tell you, this entire man's soul changed. His whole soul has evaporated in his heart. I don't know what happened to him that day. I don't know if I fucked up his pre-ritual stand-up routine. I don't know what happened. Here's what happened, though. He looked at me. His face immediately sulked. He already has, I'll give you another hint, he already has really sulky eyes already. Okay, so he looks at me. And he gives me the ultimate, like, sulking face. Like, he's so sad that I just said, hey, yo, bro, I thought that shit was trash. And literally his whole mood changed to where he turned to his little mans. It was like, hey, yo, we about to go get something to eat. We out. Right? So everybody's quiet. I remind you, it's a room of five of us, okay? Me, the producer, the homie that's just there, like, our homie, me and the producer homie, and then him and his little mans, okay? Now shit is real quiet. Me, I got a big smile on my face. Because like I said, when I first entered the situation, I don't give a fuck. That's, see, you know, so that's why it's key. I say these things because it's key to say these things. I always come back. So we go downstairs, or he goes downstairs, and we kind of like, you know, go after. You know what I'm saying? A little bit after. And as I'm making my way downstairs, he's already at the foyer area, right? So he's about to walk out the door. And before he walks out the door, he turns around and puts his finger in my face, okay, and says, I will prove you wrong. I will prove you wrong. With a straight face, like this is no bullshit. Like, no, he didn't say this with a smile on his face, not laughing matter. Like, he took it very serious, okay? And I was like, bro, I wasn't trying to disrespect you, bro. He just asked me, how do I feel about it? I gave you my opinion. He was like, No, I will prove you wrong. I will prove you wrong. And my man, the producer, you know, he came through, kind of broke it up a little bit, walked out with him out his door because we're at the producer's house. You know what I'm saying? So we walk out the door. And, you know what I'm saying? They go and talk, whatever. My man's come back. He's like, this is what I be telling you. This is what the fuck I be telling you. You're too raw. You're too authentic. You cannot tell people exactly what you feel, bro. He said, when we're trying to get a business transaction done, you up here trying to tell the nigga how you exactly feel. I said, bro, he asked me the question. You know me. I'm going to keep it one pow wow, right? Plus, after he started talking that Diddy shit, everybody energy changed. So we going to keep it all the way a bean. So, right? You sticking with me, right, Cody? You sticking with me, right?
Yeah.
So, my man's come back. He say all that. He kind of mad at me, but he not really, you know what I'm saying? Like, not mad to the point where he's trying to do something. He's just like, he has been telling me this entire time because he listened to what I'm saying on record. And sometime I'll be freestyle. I'll be saying, man, wild shit. But I'm just a wild guy. You know what I'm saying? So you know me. This is who I am. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, he was like, dude, you're going to need a PR. Like, you're going to need that type of, you know what I'm saying? For sure. There's no way you can do any deals. You can't do any business deals. Right? That was his main thing, right? And he's much older, too. Like, my man producer, he's like 38 at this point. I'm 19. You know what I mean? So... And I'm always been around older people. Everybody in there is older, but me and the little homies. Like, even my homie that with the producer, he's 35. Okay. The stand-up comedian is 40 plus. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? I just hang around older people for the most part. Not that old, but you know what I'm saying? If it is that way, then fuck it. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. But it was like, you know, he's been through the game. You know what I'm saying? So he's not really trying to get back into the game. You know what I'm saying? And his stand-up comedian friend came down. I do feel what he's coming from, but he should have known where I stood, what my position was. You know what I'm saying? I'm a consistent guy. You know what the fuck you're going to get from me. And I didn't say nothing at first. I could have just said it was trash out the gate. You know what I'm saying? Before he started asking questions, but it got around to me. He asked me the question. I gave him an answer. And I didn't say it bad. Like, oh, it's trash, my nigga. This shit was the worst shit I ever heard. I just say, yo, that shit was trash, dog. Like, dang, like, you can't take a joke. Like, you're a comedian. And you're a damn good comedian. You talk mad shit about people. That's what you do. You was in one of your comedic specials, I'll give another hint, you was talking about kids that can't read and said they hated some popcorn in school. It was hilarious. Come on, that's what you do. So when the odds is flipped, you're not the same nigga. Ooh, I don't like that. You know what I mean? I don't like that. Later that day, though, we get to work, right? Later that day. Or maybe it was the next day. No. Here's what happened. My man's, his wife had came downstairs, right? His wife mad cool too. Shout out to her. She tried to mend the situation and said, she's really nice. Sweetheart of a lady. I knew her daughter like back in like when I was in the seventh grade and shit. You know what I'm saying? So she was, you know what I'm saying? Before I even knew homie as producer, it's just weird. You know what I'm saying? But She was like, I'm gonna ask you to leave. Right? I'm like, all right, I'm out. Right? Hop in the Uber. I bounce. Next day, get to work. He see me. I'm like working the shit. At the end of my shift, we come outside to talk. And he's like, yo, I just want to say, like, I'm sorry about what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I should have known that that's the person that you are. Pretty much. And just like, you know what I'm saying? But he was like, in the future, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have to learn how to not be so abrasive. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, bro, I'm an alpha dog. I said, I don't know about y'all niggas. Okay. Now, I might not seem like an alpha dog because sometimes I could be the quietest nigga in the room. I'm definitely the smallest, without a doubt. Without a doubt, definitely the smallest. Right? So sometimes I could be the quietest. I'm definitely the smallest. And I'm a handsome guy. I'm not threatening in any way, form, or fashion besides my brown skin to racist white people. But I'm an alpha dog. My mentality, the energy takes over the room. I know this, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to act like it doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? I try to actually bring light to a situation. And that's why I'm always joking and always making jokes and always been in the happy mood. And you know what I'm saying? Like, because I know that I have that effect on people. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, when I said what I said to the comedian, that effect that I have on people really had an effect on him. And my man saw that. You know what I'm saying? But he's still trying to say that I'm too abrasive. I'm telling bro, that's just me. I'm saying, you know this already. I'm saying, I told you this already. I said, as a matter of fact, we had a conversation 2 months ago. We said, when we all sit down in a room, it don't care. We don't care what money step into the room. We said, we don't care what money step. We get into a label situation. We get into a connect or something. Like, we don't give a fuck. We're going to remain who the fuck we said we was from day one. We made an oath, a pledge. We stood on it. You know what I mean? Stand on it. You know what I'm saying? Didn't stand on it. And he tried to like say like the comedian had invited me out to the theater to come see his show tonight. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to come and see that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like good on that guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it led to a whole situation. You know what I'm saying? Where the actual homie that was there, you know what I'm saying, that made like the funny face at the P. Diddy situation when we was out smoking, he ended up, you know what I'm saying, riding with the producer. You know what I'm saying? Because they end up kind of being on some bitch nigga shit, to be quite honest. Like, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like not really giving me my files. You know what I'm saying? I still want where my files at, bro. You know what I mean? Like, so it's all good. Plus, we all work together. We all worked at the same job. You know what I mean? So, homie, he up here making threats. I'm when I see you, I'm going to knock your teeth out. Of course, this never happens. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mind you, the dude is 6'5", from Detroit, talking about he got Detroit niggas okay. I step to him face to face, man to man, and say that day, the very next day when he called me on the phone and say that he was going to knock my teeth out, I step to him the very next day and said, where is my teeth? And he did not respond and walked away in front of everybody, like he should. Okay, because he know. Those Detroit niggas that you got, I don't have Detroit niggas. Now, shout out to Detroit niggas. I don't know about the Detroit niggas. Maybe Detroit might not even be repping this nigga. Real shit. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Detroit niggas. But me, I don't got niggas. I just got me. Okay. And that's enough. You know what I'm saying? That's enough at all times. So it's just like, you know, he tried to get on some shit. And, you know, that didn't really go too well for him. And that was that, you know what I'm saying? And then like later, you know, I end up like leaving and move to a whole different city, start working at another job and shit. And I'm getting calls from the producer, right? To another homie that I know to work at the job. Shout out to him. That's like my big homie. You know what I'm saying? I call him NO, he's from New Orleans. So he's like, yo, homie, he be talking about you at the job every day, how he missed out on the opportunity to work with you. He was so young, so talented. He just that was going to be his foot back into the game. He fucked it up. He want to work with you again, bro. Work with him, bro. Work with him, bro. I'm like, nigga, what? Work with him? What? What are y'all? What? I done already saw what I had to see. You know what I'm saying? And I was 19 back then. Much older now. You know what I'm saying? Much more set in my integrity and morals now. So I wasn't feeling that, of course. But he would kept on calling me to the point where I had to tell this nigga, yo, stop calling me, my nigga. Like, come on, stop. You like them bitches that can't let go. Like, stop. You gotta stop. You know what I'm saying? Got to the point where his girl, who told me, asked me to leave, which is really, she's really nice. She invited me to dinner. Oh, we can have a dinner. We can all just sit down at the table. This all smooth out. Nah, good. You know what I'm saying? Some people might say, oh, you cold-hearted. You know what I'm saying? Ah, it's just over a small situation. Nah. I heard what he said. He said, you got to stop being abrasive in the future. That's never going to happen. Go ahead. Now, I don't think I'm abrasive personally, but if you feel as though I'm abrasive, okay. You know what I'm saying? I can't deliver this any way other way. You know what I'm saying? So that was that. And I learned from that situation. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of a whole breakdown story. I didn't really say names because I'm not a name guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not that type of nigga. But, you know, one day, you know what I'm saying? One day I'll tell the stand-up name. I'll speak to that nigga one day.
All right. Now, when you get told that you're too abrasive or you're too authentic, do you just, like, to me, if someone told me that now, you know, present day, you're too real, you're too authentic, I'm like, okay, fuck you. You know? Like, do you ever feel that way?
I do. At 1,000%. That's, you know what I'm saying? You responded much better than I did. Fuck you.
Well, I mean, that's another thing, too. Like, you know, when I first got into podcasting, like, you know, this group I was in, you know, like, and this person had a real problem with me swearing on the podcast. And I was like, do you do the podcast? And she's like, well, no. Then shut the fuck up. You know, and of course, they didn't like that. But that's how I felt, you know, and, you know, and, but that's the thing, like, I mean, people just can't tell you how to act, you know, because they're not you, you know, I mean, yeah, if you were being like real disrespectful and shit, then yeah, I could see it, you know, but you're brutally honest, you know, you tell it like it is, you know, and like, that's the thing, like, I'm that way with my friends too, but I only like that in times where they really need to hear that shit. They're like, you know, and then 9 times out of 10, they're like, you know what, dude, you're right. I'm fucking up, you know. But like, yeah, like, but when people tell you how to act, that's when I'm just like, you know what, man, fuck off, you know.
Right, right, 1,000%, bro, 1,000%. And you know what I'm saying? Like you said, if it gets to a point where it's disrespectful, I don't feel as though I'll be disrespectful though. Like, but a lot of people say that. I don't know if it's a southern thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Jersey. At the end of the day, I've been living here for a long time. I was 11, but I'm still a Jersey kid all the way. You know what I mean? And it's just like, sometimes, you know what I'm saying? They just say that, you know, I talk too fast. I'm too abrasive, too aggressive. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is, man. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, I can see, like, well, I mean, like, people say, like, oh, well, your tone. Like, what do you mean? And but then, you know, as I get older, I understand what people are talking about. Oh, your tone and your demeanor, you know, it comes off in a way where it's disrespectful. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. You know, maybe I should, you know, because then at that point, you know, I kind of try to come at it in a more understanding manner, you know, when I'm honest with people. Like, look, man, I get it, you know. But this is what you need to see, you know. But it can be tough sometimes.
Yeah, it could. Just to balance that, you know what I mean? Just to balance the honesty with the rawness, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, tone. Like, that was my mom's state time. You know, it's your tone. It's your tone. That's it. You get on me every time. You know what I'm saying? That's been my situation. That's been the story of my whole life. My tone. You know what I mean? But it's just like I don't know if you know Dame Dash, right?
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, Dame, he really, like, he's an abrasive guy. And I'm not going to say he says everything right, okay? But a lot of the times, okay, a lot of the times, things that get very popular, that people start getting on ownership and business talk, and you know what I'm saying? And, you know, black-owned business, and this is what Dame Dash have been telling you niggas since 1990. He just been saying it He just been saying it like, no, you niggas. You know, so he'd been saying it with a certain passion, a certain emotion level that people just, you know, some people just can't vibe with it. It's just too much for them. You know what I'm saying? They're, I don't know if they're just too sensitive or if their emotions can't, you know what I'm saying, you know, work with it, or can't mesh with it. But, you know what I'm saying? To me, it's not so much, it is how you say it, because I will say in music, that means everything, right? It's not so much what you say, it's how you say it. But I don't know if that means so much in the real world, right? Do you need the drill sergeant to talk to you with the smooth voice? Move it, kid. No.
No.
You shall move it, motherfucker. Right. You shall get your ass and move it.
Exactly.
Okay? 2 steps left, right, move. Okay. That's what calls for the job. If that's what calls for the job, if you're a speaker, if you're somebody that, you know what I'm saying, if you're a business mogul, if you're a shrewd businessman, you might not be the best human. You might not. I'm not trying to act like, you know what I'm saying, I'm the greatest nigga. But at the end of the day, is it so bad? Is it so bad, Cody?
Well, when it comes to business, you know, like, I kind of feel like there has to be times where, and I've been in this situation before too, where I've had to put the business above people, you know, because and go back to that group I was a part of, you know, we had to actually remove somebody from the group because of their behavior, you know, because they were harassing people who were supporting us. And I was just like, man, we cannot have this. And, you know, that's the thing, like, you know, I got close to the guy and I was like, you know, like, it was a really fucking fucked up situation, you know. And, you know, I brought the group together. I'm like, all right, you know, this is what's going on. We need to unanimously, you know, agree on this, that he needs to be removed. And everyone's like, yeah, you know. But with me being the one who started the whole thing, brought it all together, I got blamed for it, you know. But, like, that's the thing. Sometimes when it comes to business, you have got to kind of make those sacrifices for your brand, you know.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And those are probably just the, you know, the stepping stones are just, you know what I'm saying, trying to start your own thing in anything that you do, right? Like, it's just like, you know, you got to have something to stand on at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely a business, you know what I'm saying, professional guy. You know what I'm saying? I've been in the corporate office. I can, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm with business when business calls for business. You know what I'm saying? If somebody, you know, try to get with you on a personal level, on a personal relatable level, and you just keep it a buck, you know what I mean? What you gonna do about that, bro?
Now, back on the music. What are some of your musical influences? You know, I can see, you know, you have your video on right now on Zoom. I see the these Slim Shady LP cover art in the background, Biggie's Life After Death as well. What's some of your musical influences when it comes to creating music?
For sure. Well, pretty much, what you see is what you get. You know what I'm saying? You got it, brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? Slim Shady. You know what I'm saying? I would say I can do it in order, right? Like, I would say probably first Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Definitely the biggest influence on me in music, for sure. That Reasonable Doubt album is probably the greatest piece of work I've ever heard in my life. You know, bar none. You know what I'm saying? From there, I start listening to Eminem. You know what I'm saying? Eminem is actually the guy who made me want to rap. You know what I'm saying? And I hear a lot of rappers say that too. Like, that, like, Eminem is like every rapper's favorite rapper. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a rapping ass nigga. Like, he's just, that's all he do is just rap. And it's just, if you a rap head, if you love the hip hop shit, how can you not love Eminem? You know what I'm saying? That's his history, knowledge of the game is just, his love for the game is crazy. Moving on from him, I started listening to Biggie a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because I would hear, you know what I'm saying, Eminem, you know, do a lot of Biggie references, or just, you know, mention Biggie in his shit, or, you know what I'm saying? And he actually did a song on one of posthumous or posthumous records with Biggie. It's called Dead Wrong, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know what I'm saying? Biggie, It's just like I've never seen somebody be like Eminem is an honest guy. He is. He's an honest dude. But a lot of his shit is characterized as well. You know what I mean? Like a lot of it is Slim Shady. A lot of it is serial killer, murderer. And I love that shit. I'm not saying that I don't love it, but I'm trying to say just as far as being vulnerable, I don't know if that's actually something that he actually did. Like he's not a serial killer. Like he's not, you know what I mean? Like so he don't have to be vulnerable about being a serial killer. That's something that he's making it up. It's a great character. It's probably the greatest character of all time is the Slim Shady character. I love it. That's why it's hanging up. You know what I mean? But Biggie, which is coming from a real perspective. You know what I'm saying? I'm fat, I'm ugly, I got a lazy eye. But I'm that nigga. You know what I'm saying? I am that nigga. Y'all niggas can't say shit. It's juicy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Everything is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? He just made you feel good. You know what I'm saying? He was like a feel good rapper, even though he was spitting a lot of street shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the kick in the door shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's like you know, he got a lot of dark records too. I'm not saying that he don't. You know what I'm saying? You know. Suicidal Thoughts, that's one of my favorite records from him, from his. But you know, Biggie, he's as far as vulnerability, I've never heard a rapper be that vulnerable in themselves at all time. He was just always keeping it 100. You know, he only had two albums. He only had two. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a reason why you don't see Pac up here. I fuck with Pac. If I had to generalize it and not put my personal feelings in there, I'll put him in my top five for sure. But you know, I can't put him in my personalized top five. But you know, Pac had five albums, man. He had five albums. And he was a part of a whole group called Digital Underground. Biggie only had two.
All really good choices, man. You know, and I hear you about Biggie, man. Like, I mean, yeah, Pac, you know, Pac's a legend, you know, for sure. I mean, he'd be my own top five as well. But Biggie, man, like, he made quite a bit of an impact in just two records, you know? And a lot of people kind of forget about that. Like, oh, you know, they think they kind of feel like Biggie had this big body of work. I mean, he really didn't, you know? I mean, Biggie was in this game for a hot minute. And then he was gone, you know? So, like, yeah, man. I mean, his cultural impact was done in just two albums, you know? And that's another thing too. I noticed you had a video on your YouTube channel, Nobles Network. If people want to go check it out, and they should.
Big shout out. Big shout out. Appreciate the shameless plug. Appreciate the shameless plug.
You said that dead rappers get better promotion.
You paying attention, Cody. You
Yes.
paying attention, baby boy. Okay. All right, my nigga. I'm fucking with you heavy, bro. You paying attention. You paying attention.
That's something that I pride myself on, man. Like I have to do as much research as I can on a podcast guest. So that way we have this wide open discussion, you know. And I do think that some people I interview are a little shocked by it, like, oh, you fucking, you know, like you actually, you know, did your research on me and shit like that, you know. Even though they don't outright say it, I think you're the only one who's really outright said it, like, oh man, like you've done your homework on me, you know. But yeah, back on the subject, it is true, you know. I mean, hell, I mean, with Biggie, Pac, I mean, Pac's had like what, six, seven albums released after death, you know? I mean, it just goes back to that whole thing. You know, they love you at the highest point when you're dead. And it's so fucking sad, you know?
Word, man. It's just I saw that. I heard Jadakiss say that one time. He says something get found in the bodies get found in the ocean because you know dead rappers get better promotion. And I said, oh shit, he's right. He's right. Like everything I'm about to say, right? No disrespect to any rapper that's ever dead, that ever died, right? But I'll just say a few names that we know because they're popular. Nipsey Hussle situation, right? And shout out to Nipsey. I was on Nipsey. If you ask my man's that I had on a call in, shout out to my man's. If you ask him, he know I'm putting him on Nipsey. You know what I mean? Before anybody, nobody was listening to Nipsey, especially down here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody was listening to Nipsey before he passed. You know what I'm saying? Even, I mean, maybe just a little bit, maybe a couple of months before he passed, he was starting to get a little notice, but for the most part, he was quiet out here. You know what I'm saying? At least in Georgia, and I feel as though in most part, because definitely his record sales didn't reflect. You know what I'm saying? His record sales and his numbers didn't reflect. So at the end of the day, situation was crazy. Everybody's reacting to it in a whole different way. Not to say that that was wrong or that's not warranted, but you know, we can't act like that didn't boost up the man's entire career. People are calling this man a musical legend, a hip hop legend. That's no disrespect. No disrespect. He's not a legend, bro. A hip hop legend. I don't even think he would have even called himself a legend. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a legendary hustler, a legendary human being, a legendary motivator. You know what I'm saying? A legendary real nigga. You know what I'm saying? A legendary street nigga, even. If you want to take it to that tip, go ahead. A legendary gangbanger. Take it to that. Legendary hip hop. And every single time somebody died, he's a legend. Every time. Every time.
Right, man.
And it's like, yo, we got to stop.
Right, don't matter who it is, you know, whether it was Triple X and Tassion, Pop Smoke, you know, like, I mean, whenever a rapper dies before their time, they're a legend. They're one of the GOATs, you know. We need to put them up there. I'm like, do we really? No disrespect, you know, but like,
no disrespect.
I mean, that's the thing. When Nipsey Hussle passed away, you know, I was like, man, fuck, you know, this is sad. But when people were saying like, oh, I loved his music, I'm like, did you really? You know? Like, I mean, I just kind of feel like people are capping when they say that, you know? And you know, and it's no disrespect to Nipsey, you know? But I'm just like, man, people weren't really, you know, listening to him like that, you know? At least not to me, right. You know?
They just weren't, bro. You're right. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really want to say it either. You know what I'm saying? Maybe in the West Coast, because he was more of a he was a regional rapper. Like, we're just keeping it a bean. Like, he made West Coast sounding music. Like, that's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? But we can't act like the man was you know, dropping classic music. Like, this is insane. We have to stop. Now I fuck with a lot of records. I ain't nothing like you fucking rap niggas. Hustle in a shooter, that's a fact, nigga. He be talking his shit. I fuck with the nigga heavy. But even when I was fucking with him, I realized niggas wasn't even listening to him. You know what I mean? Like, we gotta stop, bro. We gotta stop.
Right, exactly. yeah, man. We've had an awesome conversation up to this point. I gotta know, what's the future in store for you in terms of your music and anything else you might have going on?
Oh, for sure, man. Well, definitely just continue on with the podcast. Like I said, I'm about to do another call in with a rap group. Shout out to them from New York. I think it's DCBOA. I want to give them a little shout out as well. A little shameless plug there. You know what I mean? And some more podcast content for sure. Other than that, with the music, I'm gonna keep on dropping singles because, like you said, you noticed that I only had two singles. Or two records up there, which is very true. Very true. So I got to get my catalog up a little bit, try to get some more exposure with that. And then maybe I would say maybe later this year, early next year, I'm coming with a mixtape for sure. So yeah, that's the two things in store for me, man.
Awesome, man. Well, I think that's all I got for you tonight, man. We'll definitely have to do it again at some point. But before we close out the show, tell people where they can follow you on social media, where they can find the podcast and your music.
Appreciate that. Yeah, y'all can definitely follow me on 9Noble7 on Instagram. You never know where to find your boys, the kid. Lang City, I'm always going rep. You know what I'm saying? You can find me Facebook, Nobles Network. Okay, I'll be on there posting just the amount of content I post on Instagram. I'm just everywhere. Find me on TikTok, Nobles Network as well. Okay, to be banning a lot of my shit like we spoke about, but you can find me on there. You can find me on SoundCloud, Noble Barca. This is NobleBarca. Okay. And you can also follow me on YouTube, Nobles Network YouTube channel. Appreciate the love.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Noble Barca here. And man, thanks for doing the show. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that show, man. Like, man, telling you what, man, Noble, he's got to be definitely one of the most honest people that I've talked to on my podcast. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, my other guests haven't been as honest, but, you know, I mean, this guy just gave me everything, pretty much, you know, all of his personality, you know, because sometimes people will give you extensions of themselves on the podcast, you know. But with Noble, man, he was straight to the point, didn't sugarcoat anything, and that's what I like. And I definitely hope that we can do more business in the months and years to come. So shout out to Noble Barca. You guys better check out his podcast, his music. And until next time, I will talk to you all very soon. Peace.